anybody can talk about wine. But what you're about to experience is a grape encounter.
Today, Grape Encounters Radio is going to the dogs, literally. A few months ago, we spent an afternoon with Jean-Charles Boisset, one of the most powerful and influential names in the wine business, both here in the U.S. and in France. Well, Jean-Charles and his wife Gina Gallo, yes, of the Gallo wine dynasty, are not the only members of their immediate family making great wine and headlines. Now the family's French bulldog, Frenchie, is making news by making wine. Yes, indeed, the first canine Cabernet, and much, much more.
Let's go.
Let's go.
You're on.
Now, Frenchie would have loved to be on today's show, but, well, he's a dog and has limited vocabulary. So Jean-Charles has graciously agreed to speak on Frenchie's behalf. And you will not want to miss a second of my conversation with one of the most colorful characters in the wine business. But first, there's lots of wine news to share with you. And since we're going to spend a bit of time talking about a French bulldog that's like a son to a winemaking icon, we'll start with a story about another French winemaker who wants to trade one son for another.
Here's a special news bulletin.
There's a new wine-themed movie that's just been released in Europe, and it's pretty safe to say that the way the producers are promoting it overseas would probably be unthinkable in America. There are lots of really good movies about wine, and it's common to see wine in the movies, but in the movie theaters? Well, that's an entirely different story. For many years now, product placement has been a way of life at the cinema, but in wine-loving Europe, film promoters are taking it to the next level. A new film entitled You Will Be My Son is set in a French vineyard and is the story of a winemaker who wants to disown his son and pass his estate on to another young man. You Will Be My Son has the ultimate built-in product placement and marketing tool, wine. So, cinema-goers in the UK and Ireland are being offered an early Christmas present, a free glass of vintage wine on the opening weekend of the release. And promoters believe it is the first film ever to offer such a promotion. In fact, the wine promotion actually features wines made at the estate that appears in the film. Now, while there are a smattering of theaters in America that sell wine at the concession stand, giving away wine in most states is strictly prohibited. I'm guessing that when Americans find out how good the Europeans have it, there's a good chance they'll go sideways. Now, it's unlikely that Hollywood will be making any movie anytime soon about a winemaker that specializes in boxed wines. But boxed wines are getting very popular all the same. But there's something you should know if you're going to choose a box over a bottle.
Isn't it fair to say that at best you have a hunch?
Well, yes, a hunch. A pretty good
wine in a box has come a very long way, but despite the dramatic increase in quality, there's a real downside to thinking inside the box. There are plenty of really good wines now available in a box rather than a bottle, and one of the advantages to bag-in-the-box containers is freshness. That's because, as the wine is consumed, air is not allowed to get into the container, and exposure to air can cause a wine to go south pretty quickly. However, while boxed wine is not overly susceptible to damage caused by exposure to oxygen, researchers at the University of California, Davis now say that if you bag it and box it, you better refrigerate it too. In the most comprehensive study to date on how storage temperature affects wines with different packaging systems, UC Davis researchers found that bag-in-box wine is more vulnerable to warmer storage temperatures than bottled wine. Their findings were recently reported in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry. The UC Davis researchers found that warmer storage temperatures produced significant changes in the wine, and those changes were much more dramatic in the bag-in-box wine than bottled wine. The study concluded that boxed wine stored at 68 to 104 degrees Fahrenheit aged significantly faster than did the bottled wine. So, if you can't bear to cool down your Cabernet, you may want to think out of the box.
Make sure your lapel tokens are fastened and join me here in the atrium where we keep our latest exhibit.
When it comes to wine, there's always someone doing research on some aspect of our favorite indulgence. Well, this next story is about some research you may not want to hear, especially if you're carrying a few extra pounds. Most people have heard that wine is heart healthy. In fact, there has been plenty of research that supports this contention. The only problem is they may have forgotten to weigh their guinea pigs. It all started with the French paradox many years ago. Time and time again, the question was asked, how come the French eat a diet loaded with butter and other fat but don't suffer from the heart problems that plague other cultures? That revelation was the catalyst for endless research that repeatedly showed that wine, a French staple, seemed to offer meaningful defense against heart disease. Now, some researchers are saying there's a bit more to it than that, so don't look to wine as a cardiac insurance policy. Here's the catch. If you are carrying a bit of extra weight, drinking wine may have no protective effect. An obesity expert from London, Tim Loebstein, said previous findings that small amounts of alcohol lowered heart disease risk were taken from surveys more than 40 years old. But, according to Dr. Loebstein, we were concerned that the findings... may not apply to our modern, fatter population. Accordingly, researchers at Curtin University's Public Health Advocacy Institute in Perth revisited the data and found the protective effect held for slim men, but not for those who were overweight. So what about those heart-healthy French? Well, they tend to be a lot thinner than we are. Deal with it. If drinking wine is good for your health, there's one very well-known name in the wine business that's probably tasted more wine than any of us. He must be really healthy. But the times, they are changing. Get this. The best-known name in the wine business is not a winemaker. Nonetheless, his influence over what wine lovers drink is purely remarkable. Now the world's most notable wine critic is doing the unthinkable. Some say his palate is perfect. Others say his opinions are grossly overrated. But no one can deny the influence that wine critic Robert Parker has on what wine lovers drink. Parker was responsible for the 100-point wine rating system, which is now often imitated. A high score from Parker can enable a winemaker to ask outrageous prices for their wines. A low score can be absolutely devastating. Parker's publication, The Wine Advocate, is easily the most influential journal of its kind, largely because his highly regarded palate is considered by many to be the ultimate judge of quality. But now comes the announcement that few would have imagined. Parker is not only stepping down as the editor-in-chief of the publication he's published from his home in Maryland for nearly 35 years, he's also handing over the reins to an investment group that will run the publication from Singapore. Yes, Singapore, the wine capital of the world. Not. The publication is also going digital and will, can I even say it, and will contain advertising. Yep, the world's number one purist when it comes to wine is going corporate, allowing advertising and sending his baby to Asia. Now, if that's not enough to cause you to pour a good stiff beverage other than wine, I don't know what is. The term wine expert is a title that really is relative. Some may have the title sommelier or wine expert, but even experts can have an off day. You'll see what I mean in this next story. One of the world's most celebrated wine experts was once asked if he ever had mistaken Bordeaux wine for Burgundy. He responded, "Not since lunch." The late Harry Waugh was an English wine expert who sat on the board of Chateau Latour and had few peers. In the world of wine, Bordeaux and Burgundy varietals are known for their distinct characteristics, but Harry found no shame in admitting that distinguishing one wine from another is not always easy. Today, that notion may be truer than ever. Some believe that the similarity between once very unique varietals is the result of multiple factors, including higher alcohol levels, the quantity and quality of new French oak being used, and sophisticated new techniques to extract flavor and color from the grapes. Factors such as these tend to mask inherent varietal characteristics and move wines toward one central point of richness and body. Steve Hymoff, who has written for both Wine Enthusiast and Wine Spectator, says, yes, it can be a little embarrassing, especially for a critic, to unbag the bottle and see that the Merlot I'd liked so much was actually a Pinot Noir, or the Cabernet I found so rich and delicious was also a Pinot Noir. I say, if you like it, drink it, and don't get hung up on varietals. Heck, we all make mistakes. Besides, if you find your wines tasting similarly wonderful, that's a good thing, right? Grape Encounters Radio is brought to you by EpicStyle.com, which is the place that you want to go if you are a lover of wine, beer, or spirits. It's also the place you want to go if you want to do Christmas shopping or any other kind of holiday shopping for lovers of wine, beer, and spirits. And on today's show, since we're talking about wine going to the dogs, we're also going to talk to the gadget guru, Matt Dubow from EpicStyle.com, about all kinds of pet-related products that are wine-themed. You got to hear it to believe it, and we'll talk about it soon on Grape Encounters Radio. Up next, it's a legend in winemaking in both France and America, the one and only Jean-Charles Boisset.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas. Christmas.
This is going to be the best Christmas we've ever had.
David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul, 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th, aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice, then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com. Paul Cullen is an amazing musician who makes truly amazing wines. Paul is the former bass player of the legendary band Bad Company. But today, he's an amazing pioneer in the creation of very special music written and produced to complement his equally special wines. Unplugged and Uncorked is Paul's answer to everyone who believes that music and wine are inseparable. Paul's wines are a celebration of life, from his luscious red Sonata Rosso to the purely irresistible Sonata Rosé to the wildly wonderful Sonata Bianco. Paul Cullen's wines are pure pleasure. Paired with his music or yours, savored with your favorite meal, or simply sipped on a porch swing. If you want to know more about Paul Cullen's wine and music, simply visit paulcullen.net. You can learn all about Paul's ambitious Unplugged and Uncorked project, buy wine, music, and even download some of Paul's most decadent recipes. Go ahead, live large. Visit paulcullen.net today. And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and I have on the line somebody who I can only describe as one of my absolute favorite people in the wine business. I spent one of the best days of my life up at his Raymond property. He is the most interesting, the most knowledgeable, the most charming, the most innovative guy in wine. It's Jean-Charles Boisset. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. And I must say to everybody listening, in order to have a great time at Raymond, if you have David with you, it will paramount the experience and make it absolutely, essentially extraordinaire.
I'll tell you what, I felt so much more cosmopolitan after I left there, and at ease, completely stress-free after my visit to Raymond.
First of all, David, you are a very international man. Number two, what we call in France, and I don't know if you do in the U.S., but a Renaissance man. And number three, quite a few glasses of wine. So that adds another list to the dimension.
You're not supposed to tell people that. We spit, remember? We spit it all
of
out.
Course.
We didn't swallow, we spit.
But we made great vinegar from our spit too.
Oh my gosh. Hey, well listen, you know what I wanted to talk about today? And yeah, it was something we didn't get a chance to really get into when I was up there. And now I feel bad because I've seen that your younger counterpart, your, let's say, adopted son, is getting a lot of publicity. And I could have scooped that if I wanted to, but I was so intrigued with our conversation that we totally failed to talk about your boy, Frenchie.
Frenchie is my companion. Adopted son is a great way to say it because I offered Frenchie to now my wife, Gina, as I was traveling back and forth with France. And I said, you know, the best gift, my love, I can give you is right here. He's on four legs. He follows you everywhere, and he never talks back. And that was Frenchie, the French lovely bulldog that you had with us that day.
And I got a chance to meet him even before I knew how important he is in the world of wine. I went out to Frenchie's winery. Thought it was, kind of a joke, right?
Mm-hmm,
that
sure.
Just sort of for the amusement of visitors to Raymond. But quickly learned that Frenchie is a very skilled winemaker, has several wines that are doing very well, thank you indeed. He is a force to be reckoned with in the wine business.
Oh, absolutely. So what we realized, David, and the way it started, Frenchie followed me everywhere. As Gina started to have, of course, pregnancy, and then we delivered our two lovely twin girls, Frenchie and I became very secondary in the family household, as you know. And I'm sure it happens to a lot of men around this world.
Oh, sure.
When your lovely wife delivers, you become the servant, which I love to be. So Frenchie then started to follow me everywhere. So he was at the winery. And every time I was walking around the winery, everybody said, oh, French Bulldog, can I bring my dog? Can I bring my dog? And people loved it. One time, I'm walking some guests back to the areas where they parked their car at Raymond Vineyards here in Rutherford. I'm listening to a car running. And I go next to the car, and there's no driver, but two dogs, loving little kind of twin dogs in it. It was like 95 degrees Fahrenheit and all that. So the owner of the dogs didn't want the dogs to be too hot and so forth, which is legitimate. David, we are an organic and biodynamic site, so all our wines are made from organically grown grapes, and it's very important to us to be respecting the ecosystem.
I might add, by the way, you're a very educational site. Not only are you organic and biodynamic, you can walk the property and learn what that means, which is pretty interesting.
Downloading on the internet, if you wish, or sound, and obviously visuals of all the things from sustainable, organic to biodynamic farming. So seeing that, I stop the car, bring the dogs inside, dangle the key, and suddenly there's a charming lady. She says, I'm so sorry, I know you're an organic site, but I wanted to taste the wine. I couldn't let my dog being too warm in the car. So I said, ma'am, keep your dog, enjoy your tasting. And I remember forever, a tasting manager was here, Bill Foreman. He thought I was totally crazy. Bring the dogs inside and do all that. And then I said to the lady, you'll come back next year and you'll have a winery for your dog. So she's looking.
Seriously?
She said, probably either I drank too much or this guy's totally wacko. So I said to her, you'll see. So what we thought we would do is literally build a winery for dogs. And then I had made a portrait of our dog with the Napoleon outfit. Because, little French bulldogs think that they're bigger than they are. With her personality. So there's no one closer to Napoleon than a French bulldog. So I had Carol Liu out of New York to make me a portrait, which we had in our apartment. Everybody loved it. And everybody said, can I have a copy of the portrait, or can you put it on the label? And I thought, wow, that could be a fun link. We could call this winery for dogs, Frenchie welcoming all the dogs to Napa Valley, and be the first dog winery ever in the history of time.
And that's in all the world, right? There's no other dog winery.
Not at all. So the way we've designed it is we have little tanks where dogs can have water. And if you really want to, you could put a little bit of Cabernet diluted in water, which I do for Frenchie. He loves it. You have barrels which are cut out, which are the barrel salon, where they can rest, sleep, relax, and do whatever they want. And we've made as well a vineyard area where they can gallop and run. And we've, of course, as well made an area where you could put them like in a little kennel, if you wish, because we've linked the tasting room with a camera. If you go to frenchiewinery.com, you can basically see the design of it, and the camera inside of the winery allows you to see your dog from the winery itself where you taste your wine.
So you could actually tasting inside the Raymond Vineyard tasting room.
Correct.
And you could have your smartphone on, you could log on, and you could be watching what's going on with your dog and Frenchie while you enjoy the Raymond wines.
Which is great, so you never lose sight of him, and at the same time, you have a great time, and you could even show all the people in the tasting room, who is your dog, and you can build a relationship with the other guests.
We're talking to Jean-Charles Boisset. You're at the Raymond Vineyards right now, but of course, you go back and forth to France, have many wine properties there, and now I think you folks are in the top 25 in terms of U.S. wine production, that according to Wine Business Monthly here in the U.S.
Cool. Correct. Yeah, I'll tell you more about it after this.
All right, we'll be back with Jean-Charles Boisset on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. Whether it's a birthday gift, anniversary gift, or a housewarming gift, a lot of people love to give wine, but are often torn about what wine to give. So I have an alternative suggestion. And on the line is Tom Silberkleit, who created that suggestion. Tom?
Hey, David, I wanted to let you know that people are calling me to ask if we would send them an autographed copy of one of our books, The California Directory of Fine Wineries.
That's totally cool, but an autographed copy takes a little bit of time. If somebody doesn't have the time to wait for that, what else can they do?
So I highly suggest Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or independent bookstores. That's the best way to get these books.
But if they want an autographed copy, how do they do that?
You know, I'll be happy to do it. They can contact me via my website, californiafinewineries.com, and we will personally autograph a copy to whoever the folks would like.
It's the greatest photographic tribute to California's finest wineries, the California Directory of Fine Wineries. As much as it breaks my heart, I know it's impossible for you to catch every episode of Grape Encounters Radio, and that is why we archive everything we do at grapeencounters.com. As a matter of fact, you will find a full 3 years of Grape Encounters episodes at grapeencounters.com. All you got to do is go there, look to the left, there's a button that says shows, click on it, and they are archived by month and by year. And as I said, everything we've ever done is right there for you. We've interviewed some amazing guests. We have amazing insights into the wine business and wine drinking, and it's all about making your wine drinking experience a lot more fun. That's why you want to go to grapeencounters.com, click on the show archive, and check out the past episodes that you missed of Grape Encounters Radio. And Grape Encounters Radio is back, and we are back in a big way. We have one of the top 50 power brokers in the global wine industry, that according to Decanter magazine. It is Jean-Charles Boisset. You're not in France today. You are in the Napa Valley at Raymond.
At Raymond, and you know what happened just a few days ago. Raymond, and obviously Frenchy Winery is included within Raymond, got elected Winery of the Year.
No!
So this is a very big deal for the winery because we should be able to increase the traffic on a significant way, and we should obviously recognize all the great experiences we've built throughout the winery. So we want to welcome a lot of people here, as well as other wineries in Carneros and in the Russian River.
I'm going to tell people flat out, and if I'm wrong, I will buy you a bottle of wine from any place you want. If you don't find the Raymond Vineyards to be the closest thing to Disneyland for wine lovers, then you're just missing the boat. But it's more than that, because there are experiences there that you can't have at the Magic Kingdom. It's that much fun. If you remember the fun of being a child and going to a place like Disneyland, this is the same feeling, the exuberance of that experience, but as an adult.
That's exactly true, David. So well described. We want people to, first of all, feel very comfortable with wine. It's something new in America, and we've only been drinking wine for 150 years, and only a few people actually drink wine every day. So we want to make it accessible. We want to teach. We want to educate people. We want to make sure that people have an education from the vineyard nature all the way down to wine tasting and wine blending, as well as we want people to have a great time and a lot of fun, we did have together.
Oh, my gosh. We had an absolute ball. It was probably the only time this year where I said to myself, I do not want to leave. I don't want to leave. I was having so much fun. And I had barely scratched the surface there, because you could literally spend days at the Raymond Vineyard and, you know, do the wine blending, spend an afternoon tasting, spend hours roaming out on the property and learning about winemaking, hang out with Frenchy and the gang. I mean, there's so much to do. And then you can go into the Red Room.
And as you said, you could do blending, by the way. I know we want to go back to Frenchy, but David, one of the experiences we want you to come back and do with us is you can actually, over an hour, blend your own wine, and then for 15, 20 minutes, actually fill that bottle of wine that you've made, cork it, capsule it, design your own label, and put the label on that bottle within the Raymond Estate wines. So it's a big deal. It's the first destination that I know in the world that you can actually make your own wine, blend it, and take it home with you.
Well, this is such an interesting topic for me because for most of my adult life, I have been fearless when it comes to having different varietals sitting on my table and doing my own blending to my own taste. And I've had people say, you can't do that. You know, that's it's almost blasphemy in the wine business. But now it's so interesting because when you walk into a wine shop, it used to be, let's say 10 years ago, that most of the wines were single varietal wines. And now the expensive wines are the section that's getting bigger and bigger, and they're blends.
Exactly. And you know what I love as well about this room? I mean, I know you and I will have an extreme fun experience. It allows our guests to really discover what is Cabernet, what is Merlot, what is Cabernet Franc, what is Petit Verdot, Malbec, blend them together and see what each of the varietals contribute to the wine. And that's so essential. You know, I did this room because I started to learn about Cabernet on a big way only 3 years ago.
Really?
And I was with our winemaking team, and we were blending and blending and blending, and I discovered how fun it was. So I said to myself, what about having our friends do it and all our guests and experience the same phenomenal time and do it for themselves? And we received, David, so many letters and calls and emails of people thanking us for having educated them in a sense within having a lot of fun and learning how to make wine and learning what each wine and what they like within each of the varietals of wine.
By giving them the blending experience, it's a very freeing thing. Because now they're not caught in that world where they don't want to dare experiment and, you know, they don't want to venture out of that comfort zone. They realize that wine is a lot like, you know, I hate to make this comparison, but it's the best I probably can do. It's kind of like going into a Starbucks where everybody has their own drink, you know, and different people put different amounts of steamed milk or, you know, different flavors in it or whatever. Everybody is a little bit different. Yet we have for a long time tried to get everybody to drink the same portfolio of wines. And this teaches us that you can be very individualized in what you consume if you want to. And if the winemaker is not blending it perfectly for you, you can go to a place like Raymond, and with a little guidance, you can create something that is far more perfect.
Yeah, it's called Winemaker for a Day, and you dare to blend. And that's the very important part in what we want to do at Raymond, at Buena Vista Winery, as well as, of course, at the Loach Vineyards in the Russian River, is to make sure people feel wine accessible, that they're not afraid of it, that they learn about it, and they go home and say, you know, this is not that arrogant, snobbish thing that is only accessible to the happy few. I've learned a great deal. I'm going to drink wine, and I'm going to start to enjoy it with pizza or anything else.
Yes, exactly.
And that democratization of wine is so essential for the future.
Let me ask you this. A couple of years ago, the Wine Enthusiast magazine named you the Innovator of the Year.
Yes.
What was the basis of that?
Well, the basis of that was indeed to think a little bit outside of the box and to come up with a lot of innovation as far as different packaging, which would fit different experience and convenience. One of them, which is our star package right now, which is called the Barrel to Barrel, that we actually sell at the Loach and Raymond. So basically, I think you've seen it when you came, is it a barrel, like what we age in the cellar. It's just a little smaller. You feed it exactly that latest Starbucks coffee machine or the Nespresso machine. You feel it from the back end. It's a beautiful piece of furniture. You feel it from the back end. You have 10 liters of wine, or over 65 glasses of wine, and you serve it as a draft. So it's unfine and filtered wine that you can serve at home on your bar.
Wow.
So why is it so great as an innovation? One, it's very eco-friendly. It truly have 95% less carbon footprint. Number two, it never goes bad. I mean, after 4 months, it would, but you could drink 60 glasses of wine in 4 months.
Well, or in an afternoon with you.
Well, you and I, for sure.
Okay.
And number three, which is great, it's a beautiful piece of furniture that you could put on your back bar or in your kitchen. So you come home from work, instead of opening a bottle, you could just have a half a glass or a glass, and you have two friends, you have two glasses, and it's very convenient.
Yeah.
And the recycling side is You separate the back to the actual pouch inside, and you recycle it, and it's very green.
Wow. And you know what? You can send one of those down here for Christmas.
Yeah, David, we should definitely send you one. Absolutely.
Shoot it on down. First of all, I wanted to make a comment. You know, after I did the tour of the winery and I saw what was going on in the blending room and all the people in those silver jackets, netherworld getups, a few weeks later, I went to a Devo concert. And I realized that the blending room apparel was inspired by Devo. Do you know Devo?
No.
Oh, Devo is it goes way back and was at the beginning of the new wave revolution in America. And
Devo.
So you need to go and look at some of their outfits and you'll realize that accidentally you have in some ways emulated what they were doing. An interesting parallel. But also, speaking of blending, let's talk about the blending that you have done, what I would call a Franco-American blending, because you married Gina Gallo.
Correct. So we blending, obviously, our DNA, Gina and I, to produce two lovely twins. And what we did for the fun of it in 2009 as we got married is we blended two of our vineyards together.
Really?
And that triggered one in the Russian River and one in Burgundy.
Wow.
And then I thought the idea was great. What about if, with my own name, in honor of our twins or in honor of the ladies I have at home, being Gina and the girls, we create a wine named Number 3. So Number 3 you can only buy directly through us. It's called jcbwines.com. And it's under the JCB, which are my initials, Jean-Charles Boisset. And it's the Number 3 because 1 plus 1 equals 3, or because of the three girls I have at home.
Okay.
And what I love about it, David, it's an association, a marriage, a true blend between Burgundy and Russian River. It's a Pinot Noir. We started with a 2010 vintage. It's my favorite wine. It's actually the wine, if I have to impress someone, if I have to go somewhere, I want to bring, because we've produced only a small amount of cases. And it's very rare. We're the first one ever to have innovated to do that. And it's two vineyards in Burgundy, which are very meaningful to our family, as well as three vineyards in California. And the association of it is really to bring the fruit and the great flavor of California blended with the earthiness, the depth, and the deepy roots of Burgundy.
So
this is the best of both worlds.
So tell me what it was like when it became obvious that you were going to marry a member of the Gallo family, and here you are, a member of one of the most prominent French winemaking families. Were there those who said, no, you will not, oops, I was almost German there, but no, you won't marry that American?
No. Well, you know, I've never really asked my parents any advice on my sentimental life, no romantic life, and they could not have kept up anyhow. So, luckily, you know, it was love at first sight. And
thank goodness.
I met Gina and boom, bada boom, ooh la la. It was kind of a sacré bleu moment, as you would call it, with those beautiful blue eyes. And I got swept out of my world. And, you know, it was a very natural process. And I never thought I would marry someone naturally in the wine world. And here we go. It happened.
So you're technically the king and queen of the wine world now.
Oh, king and queen. No, I'm just a passionate culturalist or ambassador of wine to the consumers at large.
All right.
If you had to ask me, my dream would be to spend time with consumers and guests at our wineries and talk about experience with wine, inspire them, aspiring to drink wine every day.
I noticed that, and we only have a second here, but I noticed that when consumers pass your way, nobody gets past you, that everybody gets a hello, and everybody is treated like royalty there. And that's something that's really impressive, I must say.
You're very kind to say that.
Well, you're kind.
And you are royalty, so you should be treated even beyond that.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do want to end this by just giving a little plug, not just to the wineries of Raymond and the Boisset family wines, but also Frenchie's Winery, because that's how we started the discussion in the show. It's a great holiday gift to order up some of Frenchie's wines, because if there's one thing that people may love more than wine, it's their dogs. That's the only thing that might outrank wine, but it's a real toss-up for me.
I agree, and I'm sending it as gifts for Christmas to many people. Truthfully, you could either buy it directly with us through FrenchieWinery.com, or there's a gift pack available at wine.com as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes it easy then. Your website is FrenchieWine.com?
FrenchieWinery.com.
Oh, FrenchieWinery.com. Okay, so definitely check that out. Jean-Charles, I so appreciate you being on the show again, and I would love to come up there, maybe even in the next, matter of weeks, so that we can...
Absolutely, and we will send you away a barrel-to-barrel full of wine.
Oh, my gosh.
Your holidays will be punctuated of excitement and pleasure and texture.
Oh, my gosh, that would be a dream come true. But but listen, hey, thanks for being on the show. And again, I will catch up with you very soon, okay?
Loved it.
Jean-Charles Boisset, and coming to us from the Raymond Vineyards, but he is a winemaker of the world.
Happy holidays to everyone.
We'll be back with more Grape Encounters right after this.
David Wilson here, inviting you to join me for a cruise of a lifetime. Sail from Venice to Istanbul. 10 magnificent days across the Adriatic and Aegean Seas next April 14th through the 24th. Aboard the all-suite, all-balcony Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Our adventure begins with a relaxing luxury hotel night in Venice. Then 10 days of gourmet dining, free unlimited beverages, including fine wine and premium spirits, free unlimited shore excursions, plus much more. Explore Montenegro, Athens, Santorini, Rhodes, Ephesus, and exotic Istanbul. On board ship, we'll have private wine tastings, food and wine pairings, cocktail parties, and talks about wine, all with me. Regent Seven Seas is the world's most inclusive luxury cruise line. The Mariner accommodates only 700 guests. The ship will sell out. To learn more about this incredible adventure and to cruise with me, call Sterling Travel at 800-777-6540 or click the link on grapeencounters.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
And we are back with Grape Encounters Radio, and now we're going to talk to another dog lover, as evidenced by some of his product lines. It is the gadget guru, Matt Dubow from EpicStyle.com. Matt, you a dog lover?
I definitely am.
Do you have a dog? I don't think you have a dog.
I don't right now, but we used to have a corgi.
What the heck?
It's the, I'm sure you've seen it, it's the Queen's dog. It's they're usually kind of a tan and white color. Queen Elizabeth has hundreds of them run around.
Well, you know what? She hasn't invited me over in a long time. So.
Well, when her and I hang out, I get to see all those corgis.
Well, we were talking earlier to Jean-Charles Boisset, you know, one of the legends in the wine business worldwide. And he has a French bulldog named Frenchie.
Okay.
And you may be aware from reading the trades and consumer magazines that Frenchie has his own winery.
Yes.
This is no joke either. There really is a Frenchie winery, and you can bring your dog there if you visit the Raymond property, and your dog can hang out with the very famous Frenchie in the winery, and you can go in and taste wine, and Frenchie actually does make several different wines.
Oh, really?
So I came to the conclusion that there are two things that people love the most in life, their pets and their wine. You know, the question is, which one would you give up first? Like, if you had to give up your dog or you had to give up drinking wine, which would you do? Well, you don't have a dog, so that's not tough.
I don't have a dog right now.
Okay, so you'd give up the dog then?
Well, I don't have a dog, so I don't have to give the dog up. So.
Okay, well, then you'd have to give up something else, Matt.
Depends on what it was.
Maybe your attempts at humor. I think that's probably why to create an entire pet collection at epicstyle.com.
We have. It's called our Pet Party Collection, and it has done amazingly well. We are going to expand that collection next year. And we have bottle stoppers and corkscrews and hand-painted wine glasses, glass stickums that all go with the theme of Pet Party. There's a little tribute to the old, my old dog, Corky, and Corky, you'll see that name.
Wait. Your dog's name was Corky, like after wine cork Corky?
Well, at the time it was because he was a corgi, so his name was Corky. But we will use that as how you were trying to go there.
We already blew it. You confirmed that that wasn't what you were thinking. So there's this bottle stopper that says, sit, stay, drink.
Yes.
That's clever.
Our artists are so clever. And we have that saying on the stoppers, and we have that on actually a corkscrew and a wine gift bag and hand-painted wine glasses. It's a picture of a dog with a wine glass in its mouth.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at the bottle stopper, and the little dog is actually sitting up waiting for his glass of wine, and he's sitting on top of the stopper. It's pretty cute.
Yeah.
Now the other one that I like is "Fetch me my wine," which is loosely associated with the Hotel California song.
Very, very loosely.
Because they say, "Please bring me my wine."
Very loose.
Okay, you're trying. Don't want to get sued here. Anything like that. Okay, then we have dog wine bags.
Yes.
Do we have cat wine bags as well?
We do not. No offense to the people who love cats, but the...
Well, they've just turned the radio off now.
The dog items definitely seem to outweigh the cat items.
Okay, let me ask you this. Cats are very pretentious animals, okay. Are they not?
I'm not going to go that far and offend our friends of who have cats out there.
Well, they're snobby. Not most cats, but a lot of cats can be really snobby. You never meet snobby dogs.
Never.
No, so a snobby dog would drink boxed wine, would drink wine with a screw cap enclosure, would drink cheap wine, and would be perfectly happy. A cat, if it drank wine, would really want the good stuff and then would probably complain about it a bit.
Probably.
So I would say that you keep your cat products really focused towards high-end wines. This is just an idea, Matt.
We'll keep that in mind.
I'm thinking, though, that if somebody's drinking a high-end wine, they're probably not drinking it with a cat on the glass.
Probably not, but this is all in fun, and you know there are a lot of people that love their pets and have a lot of pet type items in their house, decor.
Yes,
so this goes right along,
and
with
a lot of pet peeves as well.
Yes, they do, as I do myself.
I was surfing the website, and I was frankly astounded at how many pet products you have.
Yes.
Yeah, unbelievable. By the way, you might find this interesting. That Jean-Charles Boisset actually puts a little bit of wine in Frenchie's water.
Oh, really?
Yes. Gives him a little bit. He says Frenchie likes a little taste of red wine.
Huh.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, that's good.
And I can tell you this, that when I had golden retrievers, they would come over and they would, without invitation, stick their tongue in my glass. Yep, exactly. That's how it is. And we know that cows like to drink wine because we have had people on the show before that actually feed their cows wine so that the meat tastes better.
I've heard that.
Which there's a whole joke in there about your poodle and Chinese food, and I'm not going there. All right.
Let's not.
I just want to make sure that for the holidays, I know that you'll want to get me an expensive gift, but I won't need any pet stuff because I don't have a pet anymore. When my dogs passed on, I said, you know what, it's a lot of responsibility, and I don't ever want to neglect them. And so not until I have a great big vineyard someplace will I have a dog.
Well, I guess I should take back the dog I got you for the holidays.
Can you imagine the look on somebody's face? You show up with a dog. Here, I got you a dog. What are they going to do with that?
I thought you needed a dog.
I tell you what, no dog, but you can get me some of that Frenchie wine.
Okay.
Because I happen to know it's good stuff. It's no dogs. Nothing that will make you roll over and play dead.
You're on a roll today.
I'm on a roll. Anyway, it is epicstyle.com. Most people today are wine lovers. Second of all, it's one-stop shopping there, baby. EpicStyle.com, you go there, you don't have to shop anyplace else. The prices are ridiculously low on your stuff.
Very, very inexpensive, and we run the gamut of different items. Right now, perfect for the holidays, pet party ornaments. They're little glasses that have sayings on them, just like the Sid Stay drink. And it's just a mini little glass, and it's a great little ornament to put on your tree.
Okay, check it out, epicstyle.com. Matt, I appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're making the wine world a better place, Matt.
Oh, we're trying.
It is Matt Dubow, the gadget guru at epicstyle.com. And that's going to end it for today. I actually, Matt, am going to get off the air, and I'm going to uncork a bottle of Frenchie's Cabernet. Want to join me?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll see you in just a second outside the studio.